Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Our music expert every Friday morning, Gary Kraft. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
I feel like we jumped in the lifeboat off of the mothership earlier this week and took it for a spin out on the lake when Leland Sklar stopped by here.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. He's talking about a piece of rock of music history, not just rock and roll history.
2,000 albums he's on.
I know. It's great. You get in the right place at the right time and you get in the right lane, and it'll keep you busy.
He's 71 years old, and I said, any thoughts of have you slowed down at all? And he said, no, I feel great. I'm fine, I think. So, you know, it's 71.
Part of it is even though he was there on tour, he doesn't tour very much, and I think that keeps those guys. If you can be in one place and just doing sessions and things like that, that keeps you a little bit healthier than if you're, running the wear and tear of the road.
Here's where I want to start today. Barry Gibb is being knighted in the UK, but I saw a story in the news just last night about a guy who had a heart attack on an airplane. He had no pulse when they got to him, and they were talking about keeping the beat to staying alive with the chest compressions, and the happy ending was the guy made it. So Barry Gibb should be noted for writing a song that you can do chest compressions to as well.
Well, they often talk about how music saves people's lives, so yeah. There you go. But he is going to be knighted sometime this month. They haven't set a date yet, at Buckingham Palace. First of the Bee Gees to be knighted, and the only Bee Gee who will be knighted. I don't think they do posthumous knighthoods in the UK. But he, of course, was there. The Bee Gees are more commonly associated with Australia, but they spent a lot of time living in England. So this is an appropriate honor.
Still part of the Commonwealth, right?
Yeah.
So from that point forward, he's known as Sir
Barry Gibb.
Sir Barry Gibb.
Or Sir Staying Alive, if you prefer.
Hey, don't mock him. What else? Elton John is going to, since we're in the UK, Elton John's going to deliver the lecture at the HIV. What's this, Memorial of Princess Diana?
Yeah, this is actually kind of a prestigious honor. It's going to be called the Diana Princess of Wales Lecture on HIV. And Elton John's been an anti-HIV, anti-AIDS activist. He's got that great foundation he does. And so this month he'll be speaking to the National AIDS Trust over in Great Britain, talking about the state of the war against AIDS, the developments, medical developments, treatment developments, as well as a vision for an AIDS-free future. So this is something that too fits with him and his work over the years. He wants to see AIDS ended by 2030, and he said that Princess Diana shared his commitment to ending HIV and AIDS.
Meanwhile, back in the States, Snoop Dogg has whomped up a giant, what was it?
World's
Gin
biggest?
Juice. Gin and Juice, named after the song of that same name. He has a Guinness Book of World Records now for a 132-gallon gin and juice concoction, 30 jugs of orange juice, 154 bottles of apricot brandy, and 180 bottles of gin.
So he didn't drink it, did he? I mean,
some of it, I'm sure he drank.
They split that up, right?
If you have a really big refrigerator, you can just keep it fresh.
Oh, and what was that for? That was associated with some festival, or
yeah, he did it at a festival last weekend, or that's at least when he rolled it out. But the Gin and Juice song has been around for a while and is one of his biggest hits.
Well, apparently the Michael Jackson estate wasn't that happy with that ABC thing they ran two Friday nights ago.
Yeah, no, they were not happy with it before it aired, and then they apparently watched it very carefully, and now they are suing ABC and Disney basically for copyright infringement for using intellectual property. They say that Disney did not have a right to use without permission. Now, what this will hinge on is, was it a work of news or a work of entertainment? If it's deemed a work of news and it was positioned as a documentary, then you're allowed to excerpt, you know, intellectual property to use it. The Michael Jackson estate, of course, contends that that's BS, that this was entertainment, and in their view, it was also, you know, a kind of a spurious use of everything to create sensation and titillate viewers and drive audience and drive viewership up for that.
Couldn't really very well do a Michael Jackson documentary without clips of him.
No,
and pieces of music.
I think a court will rule that it's a documentary.
Did you see any of it?
Yeah.
Was there
a
news person in it?
It was newsy. It fit to me. It fit the criteria of a news show.
Okay.
You know, rather than there weren't it wasn't a dramatization of what happened. It was an exam. You know, a documentary style examination of Michael Jackson's last days.
Well, Tommy Lee had a pretty good week, right? He got married.
He did get married.
He got married?
He put his, and I guess he's going to finance the marriage by putting his house up for sale. This is a house in Calabasas, Florida, that actually had gone on the market back in 2016, and he kept playing with the price and finally took it off the market. So now it's back on the market. He's asking for $4.6 million, a little more than that. He purchased it for $5.8
million. Ooh. Ooh.
So he is going to take a loss on it.
So it's reasonably priced because it has a 13-car garage. I think it has 8 bathrooms, 6
bedrooms.
Something
like that, 10,000 square feet, subterranean garage, state-of-the-art recording studio, atrium with a retractable roof, a home theater.
And there's a little waterfall in there, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, 5 bathrooms, 6 baths, library office, a piano-shaped swimming pool. And this is all...
Did Liberace own it before him? Because you would think it would be... You know, a guitar maybe or some drum set.
Yeah. I don't know who the previous owner was.
Doesn't sound too bad.
He's looking to sell that, and then
under $5 million.
Yeah, then Nickelback's bassist Mike Kroeger has put his house in Maui up for sale. This is a 5,200 square foot clifftop house that he's asking nearly $5 million for. 4 bedrooms, 4.5 baths, and it was built just last year. So
a little newer.
All sorts of amenities.
Why does he want to get out so quickly? You build and you move out?
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't said why. We know the last album didn't do all that well, so maybe that has something to do with it.
What's the Courtney Love story?
What is the Courtney Love? There's always a Courtney Love story, but in
it's
this
never
case,
good
you know,
either. It never has a happy ending with Courtney Love.
No, this is a weird one, too. So I think it was last week we spoke about how Frances Bean Cobain, you know, her daughter with Kurt Cobain, lost in her divorce settlement the guitar that Kurt Cobain played on the MTV Unplugged on Nirvana's, which is, you know, it's reputed to be the last guitar Kurt Cobain played before he committed suicide in 1994. Well, now the ex-husband, Isaiah Silva, is suing Courtney Love, claiming that she hired thugs, including Sam Lufty, who you might remember as Britney Spears' one-time manager and supposed romantic interest, and that they broke into his home, stole the guitar, beat him up, tried to murder him, and then left. So he's saying
the behest of Courtney Love.
Pardon?
All because Courtney Love hired them to do that.
Right, that's what he's saying.
And this is like the second conspiracy theory like that with Courtney Love, right? Because
the Kurt Cobain suicide, they're saying,
well, a lot of people say that was her too, and that's never been proven.
Okay, now that you're locked into this number, but on a scale of 1 to 100, 0 to 100%, what do you think the odds are that Courtney Love had anything to do with this whatsoever?
You know, I with 50-50.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's...
So you're saying there's a chance she was involved.
Would we be surprised? Probably not. You know, but it's still, it seems a little far-fetched, but she's done a lot of far-fetched things in her life. So obviously we can't be judge and jury, you know, on the phone here this morning, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Apparently Isaiah's girlfriend was injured in this whole thing as well, so there's another witness saying this is what happened. So,
well, this is the second thing where she's like in the wash of the incident. You know,
yeah. So we'll see how this plays out.
And she's just unpleasant enough to make it believable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you go off the rails enough times, and people will believe these things about you.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, we have to talk about this. Phil Collin has left Def Leppard for an illness. Somebody's ill in his family.
Phil Collin, not Colin.
Colin, yeah. Phil yeah, Collin. I'm sorry.
That's individual Leland Sklar.
Right.
Yeah. Phil Collin is indefinitely off the Def Leppard Journey Tour. He, of course, plays with Def Leppard due to an unspecified family emergency back in Los Angeles.
Because they're scheduled to be at Summerfest on the 4th of July.
They're scheduled to be everywhere this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are playing like 9 zillion dates. So Trickster guitarist Steve Brown is filling in for him, and he's a good choice because back when the other guitarist, Vivian Campbell, couldn't play for health reasons, it was this same guy, this Steve Brown from Trickster, who came in and filled in, so it's not like he doesn't know the Def Leppard material.
So we don't have a window on this as to when he'll be back with the band.
It's indefinite. Nobody's saying what the emergency is, but you know, I know Phil Collin a little bit and have talked to him a lot over the years. He'll certainly be back as soon as he can be back.
All right, you're talking to Roger Daltrey later today?
No, I talked to him yesterday.
Oh, last night.
He's got a new solo album out, his ninth, but his first in 26 years. It's a really interesting album. Pete Townsend plays guitar on seven of the songs, and Roger was telling me that he had actually started the album 4 years ago, and then The Who went on tour, and then he had his bout with meningitis, and by the time he got back to the album, he didn't like it anymore, so he was just going to shelve it. But then Roger's management gave Pete Townsend a copy of what Roger had been working on, and Pete called him and said, "You got to finish this. This is a great album, and I'll play guitar on it for you." So that was enough to put Roger back to work the album, and it comes out today. And it is a really good album. A lot of covers on it, a few originals.
And just maybe tired of it halfway through, just kind of like, meh.
No, it's really a good album.
Right, but he might have been tired of it halfway through.
Either tired of it or just, you know, I mean, the guy did go through some bad health issues.
So all right.
He could have been burned out. I did ask him about The Who, and he said, "We'll be seeing them probably sooner rather than later." You know, Pete had asked to have this year off, 2018, but it sounds like they're gearing up to do more in 2019.
All right.
Oh, sorry, Roger. We're going to be working.
All right, we're out of time, Gary.
All right, we will talk to you next week.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too.
Gary Graff, you get him on Friday mornings around these here parts.